Good afternoon. My talk, as noted, is Do Soil Bacterial Communities Show Patterns of Succession During Soil and Ecosystem Development? This question really derives from a larger question, really trying to understand a little bit about what it is that causes microbial communities to differ between soils, between in different types of, say, conditions. We're going to be looking at this through a successional system, through a Kronos sequence, where we look at as soils develop and as the ecosystem develops, we're going to be looking to see if we also see changes in the bacterial community. The reason for this, I think, is a good system for studying changes in bacterial communities is that there's a whole lot of changes that actually do occur during ecosystem development as a part of primary succession. Now, that can also be a limitation because it's nice if, say, you're looking at a gradient, which succession really is, in a way, a type of gradient, that you are able to, say, limit it to, say, one change, such as pH or something of that nature. And, of course, ecosystems don't always pan out quite like that. And so what we do see is sort of a lot of changes that are co-occurring. For example, vegetation is the kind of preeminent example of how you would expect to see succession as a factor in ecosystems, where you might see early on lichens and mosses come in and later on start to see different types of vegetation. I don't have this data up here, but let me tell you, we do show vegetative succession in the system that I'm going to be talking about today, and that we do go from lichens and mosses and scrub-like oaks to kind of a pine dominated towards the middle of the succession, pine and oak, and then later on, towards the later part of a succession in our ecosystem, we see dominance by pine. Soil formation, things are changing, obviously, within the soil. There's a lot of linkages, actually, that are going on here that could be very interesting to look at. Of course, today I'm going to focus on the bacterial community change. And you see a weathered, in our case, it'd be a sandy substrate going to development into, say, an A and a B horizon, for example. See, many different types of changes occur through the development process. Just a little bit of inclination into some of the data that we've collected that's not bacterial community related. I do want to show you that basically what we are seeing is that over 5, 16, up to 77,000 years of ecosystem development, we are basically seeing increases in our percentage clay and silt content occurring in our soils. So we're getting seeing the development or the change, the accrual of different types of mineral particle sizes, which is relating to an increase in the specific surface area throughout development as well. So we are able to document changes that you would expect to see during the soil development process. Real generically today, the primary hypothesis that I'll be looking at is bacterial communities will increase in richness and show patterns of change during soil and ecosystem development. And that first part of that hypothesis, the increase in richness, is pretty straightforward. It's a working hypothesis, actually. We cannot pinpoint exactly why we might expect to see changes, but we did expect because we were going to see increases in specific surface area, increases in potentially habitable spaces for microorganisms. We expected to see an increase in richness. Now, the next concept, a pattern of change, is one that's a little more difficult to test and a little bit difficult to explain, but let me take a shot here. We basically expect to see a community, say, at time one, come along. The size of the box there would represent, say, the richness of that community. And then the degree to which, say, two boxes or actually rectangles here overlap gives you an indication of the amount in which those two communities actually overlap. So through time, we could expect many different types of variations in the potential outcome of a microbial community. But the main point I want to make is that through time, we see changes in that community. In some cases, they're going to overlap, depending upon the change in the gradient that occurs, co-occurring with the developmental process. And we will also expect to see those boxes get larger, and that we would see richness. And you could see any kind of variation from going to a completely new community where there's no overlap between this last community and the previous one, or there could still, of course, be overlap. I think the interesting thing that we can look at this is through the eyes of species turnover. Are there changing conditions within the ecosystem that are occurring that create new conditions that basically don't allow for the existence of other organisms to occur later on during the process? And that also gives us some indication of interesting changes that are occurring. From there, let me explain a little bit about our experimental design. It's a chronosequence system. It's a gradient of soil development in the Altamaha River Valley. We looked at across the transect in these five different ages. We did do replicates in this 38-case site to confirm variability within our transect. And we did see good reproducibility in that. It's a relatively pristine site. I mean, I don't know if we can say that relatively easily anymore, but this site is relatively non-disturbed. We did a lot of looking at the soils and found nice developmental horizons that looked undisturbed. There is evidence for Native American homesteading there, and there is a wildlife managed area around there. But overall, we feel they're pretty good representatives for a chronosequence, a pretty pristine system. The study location was in the Altamaha River Valley in southeastern Georgia. Altamaha River Valley is a major drainage way for Georgia. Let's zoom in a little bit here. We looked specifically at the Altamaha River Valley itself. Here's the Altamaha River towards the west. This is the valley itself. And here you can see the formation of these parabolic dunes in many places along the valley. Now, they formed from changes in climate that occurred over different periods of time where there was drying out, and so you get the deposition of these big dune banks, dune ridges. And here's just an example of some of those different ones on the horizon. This one's actually not occurring on the highway. I don't know why it got scooted over there on top of the highway here, but it's actually a little further over here. But that gives you a little bit of a feel of the area in which we'll be studying. Here's a side view of actually one of the parabolic dunes. You can sort of see the curved nature of these dunes. And at the top where we sampled, you can see the vegetative dominance. And this, the top of the dune, the crest can be anywhere from 20 to 30 meters in width. And the length of these can be, you know, a mile or two, depending upon where you're at. So they're pretty good sized systems. Here's an example of some of the sampling methods that we utilized to look at those. They can be very deep, 10, 12, 15 meters. And basically what we did was we took a 16S ribosomal RNA gene approach. The first thing we did was we looked at the B horizon. We did that for many reasons. We thought that it might be less susceptible to impacts of new recruitment from bacteria. I'm not sure that turns out to be a big worry now, but we were worried about it at the time. And across the top of these, we took 500-gram samples along a 100-foot transect. But the data I'm showing you today is not due to due to replications, but actually from pooled samples. The soils are 93% to 98% sand. I noted early on that there was considerable change in the clay and silt data during the developmental process. And so we went from around 2% or 1.5% clay and silt content early in development to around 7 or 8% later in the developmental process in the B horizon. So we saw considerable accumulation and change that's occurring. The first set of data I want to show you here is a rarefaction curve, an OTU richness curve, basically confirming our first hypothesis that we expected to see an increase in richness. Basically, we have the number of operational taxonomic unit here on the y-axis, and the number of sequences sampled here. And we see that around 200 or so sequences, they're all lining up, and we have going from around 5, 16, to 38, 45, and 77,000 years of soil development. We see the community richness, the number of to operational taxonomic units within that system is also increasing. And again, that's our working hypothesis is that because we're seeing accumulation of new niches, that may be the reason for that. That's really hypothetical at this point. Okay, now here's a pretty busy table, but let me kind of back it off for you. The first thing I wanted you to note was that we're looking at abundant ribotypes. Now, we're not able, particularly this is clone sequence data. This isn't pyrosequencing data. We don't have that data ready yet. But the data that we do have here shows about 30 or so of the dominant abundant organisms. They represent probably about 25 or 30% of the total ribotypes that we see. And what I really want you to notice is not so much the different 30 types there, but that there's a pattern developing here. And that going from 5,000 years up to around 77,000 years of development across the chronosequence, we see a considerable change in the type of community that dominates. Particularly, we see a very large change going from the youngest site, which is dominated by scrub oaks, going into the next age, where we see recruitment of new individuals, considerable change, and actually the disappearance of some other dominants that were very common. As we move into the next two ages, these are almost replicates of each other. They're pretty close together in age and in many cases microbial community structure. But what we do see is the recruitment of, say, another set of new individuals here as we move into the 38,000 to 45,000 year site. And lastly, we see kind of a continuation here as we go to the oldest site, although, again, some disappearance here of some of these abundant, anyway, ribotypes. Whether or not those organisms, of course, are still in the soil or not, we can't say, but they're certainly not abundant ribotypes, according to our analyses. To look at this from another standpoint, a little bit visually easier to understand, we just basically took the data into a multivariate Bray-Curtis multivariate ordination, took that 25 or so variable system, plugged it in, and turned it into a one-dimensional solution and found a pretty good result, and that we basically saw a large shift from the community from the early age to the next age, and we saw considerably smaller amounts of shifts in the community as it aged further. So just to look at this from the Venn diagram that I presented earlier, basically what we saw was a microbial community fairly low in richness, increase in richness and number, and we saw some overlap. Now I'm showing these a little bit differently here. Rather than overlapping them, I'm showing them consecutively so that you can actually get a better feel of how they might overlap. But there is overlap between these communities, and then we see a smaller change as we move on through the developmental process, so that we see the recruitment of new organisms and we see the turnover and loss of, say, other organisms, which is consistent with what we expected in our hypothesis. One thing that we're looking further into, which is part of our pyrosequencing effort, is to look more at some of the differences in the rare taxa that we think may be important here during the latter stages of ecosystem development. So in summary, we did see bacterial communities in soil showing evidence for succession. We're not sure if that's due to a change in the gradient due to soil factors. We're not sure if perhaps there's some really interesting bacterial plant symbioses going on or associations, which I could also see as potentials relating to this change. But further, certainly further looking into this in terms of the vegetation and soil factors that may be providing insights on that, I think would be very interesting. Again, thanks to my co-authors. And with that, maybe I have time for one question. Yes, Dave.
I guess I was just curious why you thought that would be the rarer members of the community that might be more important later on in succession.
If I said that directly, I didn't mean to imply. I meant to one. Part of our data suggested that later on, there was some interesting differences there in the rare members, which actually didn't show up there on that data set. But so because of the depth of our sampling that we have at this point in time, you know, we can't say whether or not that's really going to be of interest or not. So if I said that, I said that incorrect.
How did you select the total interval encompassed by your chronosequence?
Nature selected that for us. We had no real choice. Of course, we did. We're looking at three or four chronosequences actually in the United States and New Zealand right now as part of an effort for NSF. And in this particular case, it seemed like a good system to give us an idea of over pretty long distances. We actually are studying another system that's around 5,000 years in age. It's hard to know, where the big differences are going to occur. But we still think it's a really fruitful effort to look at these related to those gradients because there might be some really interesting, observations we can make about some of the drivers of change in communities. Yes, Marianne.
How did the depth and thickness of the B horizon change along your gradient?
It did change. The depth, I don't know if there was a consistent pattern, but my guess is that it got a little bit deeper and that we saw from early on, maybe around 20 centimeters in depth to maybe going up to 30, 40 centimeters in depth. In some cases, it actually seemed to increase in its height, too, I believe. One of my graduate students will be giving a talk. I don't know if she's going to hit on that or not, but you can go and see if your question's answered any further. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.